That is the school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. So today you want to get your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to continue our study on the choice Jesus made in choosing of all his disciples, those 12 that we would call the 12 apostles. Matthew chapter 10. Now we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sunday schools of October the 5th, 1924 by E.A. Elam. And in that Sunday school lesson, as in all of his lessons, he would include what he would call a golden text. And the golden text for the Sunday school lesson is Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. Freely ye received, freely give. And we'll be discussing that in just a moment. While you're turning in your Bible to that portion or getting your mind prepared for this Bible study, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at our text. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus told them, he's sending them forth to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is the first mission that these 12 were to receive, to preach in the villages of Galilee. And he says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely ye received, freely give." Those words, "freely ye received, freely give," are the golden text for this lesson. And under the, in the midst of the lesson, under the heading, "freely give," Elam writes this: they were authorized to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. They did not ignore means, but use remedies at times, anointing many with oil and healing them, as we read in Mark chapter 6 and verse 13. They were to perform all these cures in benevolence and mercy, not only to demonstrate their love, but also to show their divine authority to teach by this manifestation of divine power through them. It should be noted here that Judas Iscariot with the others were sent out with power to heal the sick and to cast out devils. Miraculous power was not bestowed upon the apostles and others to make them morally or spiritually better, but to confirm the truth which they preached. Their moral and spiritual condition depended on their own faith and obedience to God. Hence, Judas. They had freely received, as freely they were to give. The afflicted must be relieved, and the gospel of the kingdom preached, without money and without price, as it says in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. You remember that story of Simon the sorcerer, who desired to place these powers on a money basis? Let me read you that story. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. It says, "Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, Thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I see that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered and said, Pray ye for me to the Lord, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. You see, the 12 had freely received these miraculous gifts. They were freely to give the benefit to others. This was not to be for them a money-making proposition. To make merchandise of the gospel now destroys the very spirit and perverts the very nature of God's kingdom. And we read in Romans 8 in verse 9, If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, there's further preparation for this work and further preparation for their present work. While the lesson text ends with verse 8, verses 9 through 15 contain further instructions to the apostles regarding this preparation of their work and the promise of support. And so let's study these. We're looking at Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. And here we read, Get you no gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, no wallet for your journey, neither two coats, nor shoes, nor staff. For the laborer is worthy of his food. And into whatsoever city or village ye shall enter, search out who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go forth. And as ye enter into the house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whomsoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, as you go forth out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. These 12, as they went forth into Galilee, were to provide no money of gold or silver or brass. And the margin puts for their girdle for their purse, because money was carried in girdles. Wallet was a traveling bag used for carrying possessions, more properly, a shepherd's bag used by shepherds for carrying food when tending his sheep away from home. They were to go sod with sandals, verse 9. Sandals were soles of leather, felt, or wood strapped across the foot with thongs. In different countries, different materials were used. In Egypt, palm leaves and papyrus stalks were used. The word translated shoe literally means what is bound under a sandal, according to Thayer. To be sod with sandals means to bind on the sandals, like in Acts 12 and verse 8, or to have sandals for shoes. As the apostles were not to take two coats and only a staff, so they were not to take two pair of shoes. A second staff was used for carrying a budget, and since they had none, they would not need an extra staff. The reason for not making any further preparation is, the laborer is worthy of his food. That is, he's worthy of a living, but he must be a laborer. God provided this for them, and provides it for those who preach the gospel today. But he does it through the hospitality and generosity of worthy people, and not in a mysterious, miraculous way. This is done as follows. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 11. If we sowed unto you spiritual things, is it a great matter if we reap your carnal things? And 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. Even so did the Lord ordain that they that proclaim the gospel should live of the gospel. Thus the apostles could go free from all anxiety and give themselves wholly to the work, assured of a support. Sometimes Jesus and the apostles carried money with them, as we see in passages like John 12:6 and 13:29. It seems that they carried bread, like we see in Matthew 16:6-7. On another occasion, and under different circumstances, Jesus gave different instructions. He says in Luke 22:35-36, "When I send you forth without purse and wallet and shoes, lacked ye anything?" They said, "Nothing." And he said unto them, "But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. And he that hath none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword." It is not contrary to Christ's general instruction to the 12 and later to the 70 and throughout the epistles that the laborer is worthy of his hire, and that they that proclaim the gospel should live of the gospel. Neither is this instruction to buy a sword contrary to Christ's instructions to feed and to clothe and to pray for and to love one's enemies, or to overcome evil with good, and to avenge not yourselves, but to turn the other cheek. And all his teachings on keeping peace and making peace and following peace with all men, on the other hand, it is the strongest way possible to use that sword as a deterrent for their protection, because telling the apostles to buy a sword, they said, "Look, we have here two swords." He replied, "It is enough." Luke 22:38. He wasn't going to send the apostles out as an army to overthrow the government, but he did allow them to have swords to defer the harm that would come to them and provide for their defense. He intended that these swords would be enough, and two would be enough to serve this purpose. They went out as sheep among wolves. But now, still more trying times were upon them. They must preach the gospel to every creature in all the world, and they would have to depend on their own efforts sometimes, as in Paul's case, for support. Hence was their need for purse and wallet. In no wise does Jesus teach here that one may make a bargain for support before he will preach the gospel. Rather, the reverse. At first, they went into a place they were to search out who was worthy, that is, who would receive them and extend to them kindness and hospitality, because they were servants of God. "Salute it. Peace be unto this house," was the salutation, Luke 10:5. "And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it," that is, let the blessings of God abide upon it. If not worthy, the blessings of God would be withheld, and it would be rewarded according to its sins. In the house that was worthy, they were to abide. But should they not be received or heard as they went out of the house or city, they were to shake off the dust of their feet against it, showing they had cleared themselves of all responsibility. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah are referred in order to emphasize the sin of rejecting the truth. After further instructions and great encouragement, Matthew 10:16-42, the apostles went forth on this preaching tour, preaching the approaching of the kingdom of heaven, and that men should repent. Verse 30 of Mark 6 states that the apostles returned from this preaching tour and reported to Jesus what they had preached and what had been done. And Jesus told them to go apart into a desert place and rest. The people were gathering in order to start the Passover and were excited over the cruel death by Herod Antipas of John the Baptist. And Jesus wanted to wait until the excitement should subside. This Sunday school lesson closes with this rhyme from Tennyson. "Because the right is right, to follow the right, where wisdom in the scorn of consequence.